Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jared Weiss covers the Celtics with The Athletic, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Good to be here with you guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Jared. I feel like the Celtics, even though they're 37-21, they haven't quite put it together just yet. There's been some dysfunction, the Kyrie contract and all that, but I still think, man, they're going to be a major player here in the second part of the season.
Probably. It's impossible to know. They're completely unknown at this point. Every time things are going really well, they fall apart. Every time things are falling apart, all of a sudden they're going really well. It's been one of the craziest seasons I've witnessed in my career covering the NBA. So it's been fun, that's for sure. If you look at just the last 2 months or so, they've been playing. Probably the only team that's really been playing better than them are Golden State and Milwaukee and maybe Denver. So they're right there at the top lately. But it's so hard to know what the core identity of the team is, what their core lineup is going to be. I think you're going to see a lot of changes. And obviously tomorrow night, we're going to find out if they're going to reconfigure things.
You know, when the Celtics were playing the Bucks in the postseason last year, it was obviously without Kyrie and without Hayward. And then everybody knew, okay, the Celtics are going to be in this position where they're going to have like 8 starters for 5 spots, and they'll have to figure that out. But, you know, they'll eventually figure it out. It doesn't seem like they have at this point. What's still like the missing piece to why we're on the outside not thinking that it's working as well as it should be?
Well, I don't think you're going to have as there's no answer whether you're on the inside or the outside. It's mostly in these guys' heads. It's consistent efforts on defense, trusting the play on offense, not breaking off, which they were having a major issue with earlier in the year. I think it's gotten a lot better, frankly. But at this point, for them, they're still trying to figure out how do all these pieces line up over the course of 48 minutes every single night. And I think they've been getting 35 to 40 minutes of good basketball now for a couple months, but when the margin of error in the playoffs or against a team like Milwaukee, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, that margin of error is just so tiny that they can't get away with that.
Rozier, I don't feel like he's quite he was such an impact player last year against the Bucks. Because he's back to feel like a role player almost on this team than the integral role that he played last year in the postseason.
Well, the funny thing is when Rozier starts games this year, he's putting up pretty much the exact same numbers that he was putting up in the playoffs last year. And actually his shooting percentages are way better. It's a pretty small sample size though, but I think it's about 8 or 9 games at this point. But so he just doesn't get to start very often. And he is someone who just needs to be out there warmed up, coming in off the tip, get a chance to kind of, find his rhythm. That's how he becomes effective. And Gordon Hayward has been going through the same issue this year. Those two guys, when they're in the starting lineup, they're playing like their best selves, but they just haven't had that opportunity very often. So Rozier's in this really kind of weird limbo, essentially. And they need him to play. They need him to play in rhythm when he's coming off the bench, be able to do that for 20 to 25 minutes a game, because Kyrie's there. Kyrie is a better player than Terry is. And Terry just hasn't been able to figure out how he can do that consistently. The last couple weeks, he's starting to show it, but sometimes it looks like it's coming around, and then again, like this team, it just disappears.
I feel like right now, as we talk to Jared Weiss with The Athletic, Bucks-Celtics tomorrow night, TNT, I feel like the Bucks are good. I mean, they are good.
Oh, yeah.
Number one team in the East. But I feel like what's going to happen is come playoff time, assuming they get past the first round, if they match up with Toronto or Philly or Boston, I feel like the Bucks will be, by Vegas standards, the underdog in that series. And Boston has been a team. I mean, we saw that playoff series last year and even the game this year out in Boston that can, you know, they could beat the Bucks. They could put some of these guys like Olajé that doesn't play a ton, but suddenly he's playing 30 minutes guarding Giannis. Are they still a team that matches up maybe the best with the Bucks from what you know?
I think so, and I think Ojale is a huge part of that. He probably defends Giannis as well as anybody at those, you know, of those top four teams. I guess Kawhi Leonard would be a better matchup, but he's not going to match up against Giannis all game. So Ojale is that secret weapon that they have, and they don't really break. He's kind of like trapped behind emergency glass, like a fire extinguisher. They just break him out in case of Giannis emergencies. But they continue to match up well. Not much has really changed in the matchup department between these two teams over the last year. But obviously, Milwaukee is way better than last year. And it's not just because of Coach Bud, and he's running a pretty flawless system right now. But all of these guys have taken a pretty big step in their careers. I mean, Eric Bledsoe was a huge issue for Milwaukee in that series last year. And this year, I thought he should have made the All-Star team over Middleton, just based on how he played this year. I think Middleton got it because kind of more of a career achievement award for him because he's been deserving of it for a couple of years now. But Bledsoe was playing the best basketball of his career, and that was a huge weak point for Milwaukee last year. Brogdon played pretty well in the playoffs last year, but this year he's been phenomenal. So, and of course, Brook Lopez is kind of matchup proof right now with the way that he's defending on the perimeter and the way that he's shooting. So Milwaukee is just, I think they've covered up all the holes that were exposed last year. And they're no longer completely dependent on Giannis just running through the defense like he was last year. I still think Milwaukee's the better team. I think Milwaukee's the best team in the East, and at this point they're the favorite to get to the finals.
And if these two teams go head-to-head, you got two excellent coaches. We did a Twitter poll. Our station did a couple of weeks ago, I want to say, or maybe last week it was. Who would you take right now? Who's a better coach, Coach Bud, Budenholzer, or Stevens? And of course, Bud won that poll, but I don't think overwhelmingly. But I mean, if you did that one in Boston, it'd probably be Stevens, wouldn't it be?
I'm sure that's fan bias. From my perspective, that's a tough call. I mean, right now, Bud is doing it, so I guess you'd have to go with Bud. And he's got a track record of doing this. I mean, he's built 61 teams in the past. I guess obviously we'll see how far he can take it, but. Yeah, right now, I mean, he's going to win Coach of the Year. It's either going to be him or Nate McMillan or maybe Mike Malone, but it's probably going to be him. And he's built a system that has all these pieces fitting together perfectly, and everybody has buy-in, and he's elevated the effort level from everyone. I think that's what you look for to see how much is a coach impacting a team. Is how much harder are these guys playing compared to last year? And how much more are they communicating with each other? And he figured it out, and he hasn't even dramatically changed what they're doing. I mean, a lot of the principles and, like, their deep drop defense is similar to some of the stuff that they were trying with last year. He hasn't reinvented the wheel in Milwaukee. He's smoothed it out.
Is the off-season stuff, I mean, Kyrie, his decision, Anthony Davis rumors, is that like a disruption right now or just normal NBA drama?
Well, normal NBA drama is completely disruptive and upends the universe every 3 days. So, I don't think that the questions about Kyrie's future are really kind of tearing apart the locker room necessarily. I think it's the way that Kyrie has been treating his team this year has been what's been causing issues. I think that most of the stuff that happens in the media, especially rumors in the media, tends not to really affect the locker room. But we've seen demonstrably guys, you know, Kyrie will say something or Marcus Morris will say something, and then other players are responding to what they're saying. It's been pretty apparent that stuff has been affecting the locker room. This isn't a team that, like, hates each other, but the Celtics team doesn't have very tight chemistry like a lot of these other teams, like they did last year, for instance, or 2 years ago when they had Isaiah Thomas here. You know, this is a team of a bunch of individuals, frankly, who are playing together rather than a close-knit group. But, you know, they complement each other pretty well on the court, and it's just a matter of them finding the balance so that everybody can get theirs and still, or at least everybody can figure out how to split the pie while still feeling satisfied. And just there's so many hands that want such big slices this year. They've been struggling with that all season long.
Bucks Celtics tomorrow night. Jared Weiss covering it for The Athletic. Jared Weiss NBA on Twitter. Appreciate some time, Jared. Maybe we'll talk again come April, come May.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.